Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome everyone to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study tonight and every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is, of course, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you join us, please, with devotion? And that would be song, scripture, and prayer. Song by Mark Bryant. I'll do the scripture for Luke 4, 1 through 2, and prayer by Dr. James Nooks.
Good evening, everyone. Again, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us at Your Place Christian Church, where the Word is explained and God is exalted. Today we'll have song, scripture, and prayer. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, for thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, you lead and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, our power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. So have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Lord, search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me just now. And as in thy presence, as in thy presence, as in the presence, humbly I bow.
Amen. I'm reading for you from the New Living Translation, Luke the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 2nd verse, which reads, Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we come before you tonight, so we're so grateful for the opportunity to study your word. We're grateful for your presence, grateful for your presence in our lives. And God, we seek the guidance of your spirit, and we also seek the guidance of your word. Help us, God, to understand what it is that you're saying to us. Help us to be able to live lives that reflect you and your love. Help us, God, to help others. Help us as we go through the wilderness. Help us to learn lessons and help us to be better prepared to stand and deliver us to the promised land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we again are so excited to have you here at Love Connection Bible Study. And we have a wonderful, wonderful topic this month, and it is the wilderness journey. April 7th, last week, we talked about how and why do we end up in the wilderness. This week, tonight, we'll be talking about what can happen to you in the wilderness. Next week, we'll talk about how should you act in the wilderness. And finally, we'll deal with the topic of after that, there'll be other topics. No, I think that's the last one. Oh, who or what keeps you in the wilderness is the last one. So as we go forward, we're so excited to have our instructor for the night, and that is Eric Jefferson. And Mr. Jefferson, are you ready to take us to the wilderness?
I'm ready to see how we can manage in the wilderness. I'm not trying to take us to the wilderness. Listen,
well, we were
thank
there
you
last
all.
Week.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thank you all. Good to be with you this evening. So we talked about what is the wilderness last week, and we talked about struggle and trials and temptations in the spiritual wilderness and self-will and praising God pride in serving man and serving oneself. And we also looked at the physical wilderness, which was parched, dry, danger, heat, and running around lost. And of course, I want to give that reference. And tonight we're going to be looking at both, again, the spiritual part of the wilderness as well as the physical wilderness. But first, I'd like to get a roll call.
Mrs. James.
Mark Bryan is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Mr.
Dr.
Mark.
Susie. And I think you've got Lester Carver.
Brother Carver must be on mute.
Praise the Lord.
Always good to hear from you. So what can happen to you in the wilderness? I mean, when we really think about the wilderness, we think of being hot and thirsty, and we think of barren, and we think of possibly being lost in the wilderness. We think of being disoriented. We think of lack instead of a surplus. And so tonight I wanted to take us through, I've given you three scriptures that we'll look at: 1 Kings 17, 5 and 7, Matthew 4, 3 through 11, and then Numbers 14, 31 through 36. And then I'm going to look at a couple other ones as well. But I'd like to start with Numbers 14, chapter 14, verses 31 through 37. Can someone get that for me, please?
I have it.
All right. Can you go ahead and read that for us?
You said your children would be carried off as plunder. Well, I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you will drop dead in this wilderness, and your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for their faithlessness until the last of you lies dead in the wilderness. Because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sins. Then you will discover what it is like to have me for an enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will certainly do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. They will be destroyed here in this wilderness, and here they will die. The 10 men Moses had sent to explore the land, the ones who incited rebellion against the Lord will, with their bad report, were struck dead with a plague before the Lord.
All right, so we know that the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, being led, they've seen all the miraculous signs. They've crossed the sea and all this stuff. And so the Lord is telling them, you know, before we get to this, okay, you know, send some spies out. Look at the land, the spies come back and they give this horrible report. And then the children become disenchanted with following what the Lord has asked them to do. And so he tells them that they're going to die. All those that are over 20 years old are going to die in the wilderness. And their children... then their children are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So what literally happens to this group of faithlessness folks in their wilderness journey?
They lost their faith?
They lost their faith. But a whole generation lost their life too.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be drastic. anyone else? I mean, the 10 who gave the bad report were killed instantly.
This is James. They were tested. In the wilderness. I know that Brother Brian said they lost their faith, but they became hungry. They became thirsty. They were not satisfied with what they had been given, so they wanted more. They quarreled. They built an image of a false god. Many of them wound up perishing because of their lack of faith, even before they died, you know, after the 40 years. They faced all kind of consequences, and they couldn't find their way. They just wandered.
And how often is that the attitude of a lot of us? After we've seen God's glorious power in our lives or in someone's life close to us, and then we complain, we look the other way of God's words, we don't try to follow what the Lord has asked us to do, or if we do, we hem-haw and all that. I mean, is that a good thought of about some of us as well? And what does
Amen.
God think about that? And what does God think about that?
Well,
I don't think God's
a carver here. We know that all, anything that's not done in faith is sin. And when the children of Israel watched how God came against Pharaoh and the Egyptians and took them out of bondage and then made a way for them all through the wilderness, got them to the promised land, only for them to turn their back on all that God had already done and say, we don't believe you, we believe this bad report of these idiots that we sent in. You know, I'd be pissed off if I was God too. I mean, those people, everybody feared them because they heard of what God did to them. Well, they didn't hear of what God did. They experienced what God did firsthand. And then turn around and act like it never happened.
Absolutely, Brother Carver. And how many of us experience what God has done, maybe not in the miraculous that the children of Israel saw, but in our daily walk of getting us through the next day, of meeting our needs, of healing someone who has been sick that we know about, or healing us that we know about. And then as soon as we face another trial or something is amiss of what we really want it to be, what do we normally try to do? Most of us. Don't we try to seek our own way of getting this next thing done, or ask the question, Lord, why are you doing this?
Yes, we do. A lot of times.
Well, you're going to say, I know I'm not the only one.
We're not satisfied with what God even does. Like the children of Israel, God provided manna for them to eat, and they complained about it, so God sent them some quail, some birds. I mean, God is providing all this stuff. Well, Lord, that's not good enough. So that's the way we do. And God provides a way for us. God provides sustenance. He gives us so much. And then we say, well, that's not good enough, God. I want something else.
And literally, that's the way we typically are. This is Mark. We can say, Lord, you paid my rent. But my light bill, you just allowed to stay on, and my water bill is paid too, but my gas bill, I couldn't pay the whole thing, and so Lord, I want you to take care of it right now, and so we forget the fact that we didn't even have a job, and God pays the rent, pays the electric, pays the gas, a partial of others. And when we didn't have anything at all, just for us to stay where we are and live the way we live, versus recognizing that God gives us enough for each day, or for that time period until we can go on to the next opportunity or blessing that He has for us.
Amen, Brother Brian. And I think it's interesting that, of course, we know we have free will, but yet we see and we do understand, whether we comprehend, and comprehension is another thing. We do understand that God is working. We as believers, we do know that God is working in our lives, but yet we don't comprehend of the stuff that He's done and appreciate it. And so even in the wilderness, God can provide and will provide for us. And here, as we read Numbers, now let me read the second part of that found in Deuteronomy 29:2-8. I'm going to read this. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen what you have seen with your own eyes, everything the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and his whole country. All the great tests of strength, the miraculous signs, and the amazing wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you mind that understands, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear. 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. You had no bread or wine or other strong drink, but He gave you food so that you would know that He is the Lord your God. When we came here, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it to the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh for their inheritance." So even in the wilderness, even when the children thought, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, God did it all. Showed it to them, and yet they still didn't comprehend it. And why do you think that is? And why do we do that? Because I think we still have that symptom today. So why do you think we do that?
This is Mark. I think part of it is, we have an understanding, and part of it is that we, like our kids today, that we have a sense of entitlement. And because we recognize who God is, we say to ourselves, or we say to God and everybody else, we should have everything right now when we want it. And we many times don't recognize that God has a will for us, even though we have a permissive will.
isn't it like a father to want to have the best for you, and sometimes we don't know what the best is for us?
Oh, absolutely.
You fathers out there, your children, you remember those years when they were trying to do things and you'd be like, no, you don't need to do that.
Right. It's almost like giving a child a car at 12 years old, saying, okay, you know, I love you, so I'm just going to give you let you drive this car. We understand that a child is not prepared mentally to be able to deal with driving a car at that age.
Amen. And so the contrast is that in 14, the Lord has said, you know, yeah, you men who gave that bad report, you're leaving now. You know, plague, you're out of here. The rest of you who grumbled and didn't go, you're going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And those children of yours who you said were going to be captive and plunder are now going to inherit what you would have inherited. And you know, and I said this last week, think about that. How many of us today could wear basically the same clothes, maybe two or three different robes as they were traveling, and the same sandals, and they not wear out in 40 years?
This is Dr. Susie.
I got some that are about 26 years.
I bet you wasn't wearing them every day.
No, not every day.
Yes, Dr. Susie.
Why do you think that God did not go ahead and obliterate everybody but let them walk around and die out?
I think that he... This is Eric. I think that he did not obliterate them because he was being true to his promise to Abraham. And so those who were under 20 at that particular point in time, from my perspective, he felt that, okay, I'm going to give you a chance to prove your faithfulness to me or lack thereof, either way it goes, on your own merit. But those that were 20 and above, they should have known better because they saw it all. They saw everything from Moses walking into Egypt saying, let my people go, to that point. They saw all of it. So there shouldn't have been any faithlessness in that group.
But do you think there was some benefit for the young people? Anybody else?
Yes, this is James. I think that was to teach the young people a lesson of faith and what happens when you're faithless. And God's word is true. And in Hebrews, we find that, you know, it's impossible to please God without
faith.
So they needed to learn something about faith. It took them 40 years, you know, for them to see the results of people that didn't have faith. But those younger people should have gained some faith in God in those 40 years. So I think it was to teach them and prepare
this
them.
This is more. And
but,
I, not only, I agree with you. Go ahead.
Brother Lester? Then
oh,
Mark?
No. I was just going to say because he wanted to develop that younger generation that was going to go into the promised land, that was going to be circumcised on the other side of the Jordan, that was going to fight and win and be that new generation to go into. And you got to remember, these were not slaves. Those children of the slaves who didn't believe were never slaves, you know? So God got to start fresh, except for Joshua and Caleb.
Brother Mark, I'm sorry, Eric.
Along with that, they needed parents to raise them. And I really do think God, you know, had in his mind that as this generation is lost, I'm going to allow the next generation to be raised by their parents to a certain age and allow this new generation to inhabit the land and to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, and I have a question. Don't you think that also, Eric, that he was being a second-chance God? Yeah, they were going to have to die
absolutely.
Before they left. but they were being given a second chance to get it right.
Absolutely, and I absolutely believe that. And the other part of that is that, from my perspective, is that God wants us to stand on our own merit, too. I mean, he didn't want to do away with the children because of the sins of their fathers and mothers. I mean, and he clearly repeats that throughout the Bible, is that, you know, we're all going to be judged according to our own, not the sins of our forefathers and foremothers. And so he absolutely was being a God of a second chance, as God always is.
And even for the older people, though, he was being a second chance God for them, because they had time to get it right, to get a relationship with God right, even though they had limitation on how long they would live. They still had time to change and transform.
You know, that's a good one. I didn't think about that, Dr. Sue. You're absolutely correct. I did not think about that was a second chance for even the parents in that 40-year process, or however long they had left before they had to leave this world. Absolutely. Because he could have taken them out as well with the 10. I mean, he could have taken all of them out.
Amen.
So they're wandering around the wilderness, and for 40 years, I mean, I think the King James says that their feet didn't swell, and the sandals didn't wax old, or their clothes didn't wax old, and their feet didn't swell. Wandering around for 40 years. So God is still proving his power and might and his love for this group of people who most times are grumbling, complaining, arguing, being contrary. And I'm kind of like Brother Carver. I wouldn't have had the demeanor to put up with that either. I mean, we don't put up with that with people in our family, let alone a whole million of folks or so.
And even with that, Brother Eric, you know, bringing that to the razor's edge, bringing that to today, and, you know, I really want our studio audience to listen to this, because there are complainers and grumblers in our midst. You know, we complain and we grumble and we forget and we're ungrateful and we're not gracious, and we need to stop and to count our blessings. And God loves us so much so that even though our situation and circumstances are may not sometimes the best, we still got some shoes and some clothes that have been going a long way. We may not have the money to buy nothing new, but we got some stuff that's still looking good because of God's grace and God's mercy. We got some things that we've endured and allowed to sustain us, whether it's a job, whether it's a car, whether it's God is still keeping us. That's what I'm saying. So we need to see how in the plight of the Israelites, where God kept them, even though they were going through, they were kept nonetheless. They didn't struggle like folks would do who didn't have the Lord and just end up with nothing. God is still keeping them above where they would have been without the Lord.
Amen.
I think we have to see that happening in our lives. You know, we got to be grateful for the fact that, you know, I may not have a job, but I got a place to eat. I may not have a job, but I got a place to sleep. I may not have this or that, but look at what God has done. And without God, I would not have had that. So instead of complaining about it, as the children of Israel did, and became frustrated, and you know, God is saying, look, you know, I'm tired of hearing you mumble. You know, suck it up.
Yeah, and this is Eric, and for me, it is always that when I look at that story of the wilderness experience of the children of Israelite, and then realize what they came out to the other side, for me it says that if I'm in this wilderness journey and I keep my eye focused on God, how much better is it going to be for me on the other side? How much better is it going to be for me on the other side? Because I do know that God can get me to the other side. I think what happens to most folks is we lose sight of getting to the other side.
Yeah. And Brother Eric, I want to admit that I admit that I grumble, and I admit that it's a struggle to go through. And I think that's what most of us get caught up is in the going through. And we forget that there is another side. The other side is coming. But sometimes it just seems like getting there is, you know, here we are in year 39 of the year 40, but we ain't sure. You know, it seemed like it might be another 40 years. Or maybe God changed his mind because we grumbled a little bit along the way and shouldn't have. I mean, you know, our minds go all kind of different places while we're going through.
Right, and I think that that's when we ask God to give us that peace that surpasses all understanding, that we literally pray for that, that we pray that God gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding, and that we rest in his word and what he said is true. If he said he would never leave us nor forsake us even until the end of time, when we're in this wilderness journey, he's still there. He's not going to leave us, and he's going to fulfill what he said he's going to do. But we've also, and for me, this is critical. We've also got to have the faith that God is going to do what God said God is going to do.
Amen. Amen.
And Brother Eric, we got to see that God is doing it, not going to, but is doing it. Like I said, you still got some shoes, you still got some food, you still got some stuff. Look at what God is doing, not going to do. God is doing it right now. And see
Amen.
How God is doing it now, so you can lift up praises and the blessings can continue to come. In the midst of your wilderness, it's time to praise God now. Susan?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So you're saying,
but even,
be thankful.
This is James. Even when you can't see it, though, you need to have faith that God is going to do it. And that's the challenge that Jesus gave to Thomas, you know, blessed is he that, you know, that believes and has not seen. So, I mean, that's faith.
Amen.
And that's what pleases God is when we don't have a job or when we don't have the rent, that we have faith that God is going to deliver us. We may not get the rent, but God, but still have faith.
Amen.
That we're going to make it somehow, because God is going to provide, you know, and that's the faith that the people of Israel should have had when they saw the giants in the land. That yeah, they're giants, but we got God. What a giant to God, you know. And that's what they lacked, and that upset God, and God upset with us when we lack that faith. Go ahead.
No. You said something just now that was really awesome. You said, if I heard you right, is that instead of worrying about getting a promised land, what we really should have been holding on to was the fact that we had God. Instead of
Amen.
Worrying about not
Amen.
Getting a job
Amen.
Or going someplace, Amen. What we should have really understood is that what we had was that which is the giver of all those things, the holder of all those things. We had God.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. And to make sure that we drive that home, let me read a little bit of Exodus 13, almost start at 20. Leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. That way they could travel whether it was day or night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from their sight. So even in the wilderness, if we know that we've got God, we've got a light. We've got substance. We've got cover. We've got salvation. We've got exactly what we need. We don't have to worry about the job and the food and the car. We've got the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we forget.
Amen. And that's what is needed in our churches today. That faith
Amen.
Is
Hallelujah.
What is needed in
Amen.
Our churches today. And that's what we need in our walk as Christians is that faith. That will help people see God in us is when we have faith in God. If we don't have faith in God, why in the world would anybody want to be a Christian? Why would anybody want to be, you know, follow the path that we say they ought to follow if we don't even have faith in the God that provides for us,
Free.
The God that we say we believe in? Why would anybody want to go to church? And yet we sit up and we exercise faithlessness day in and day out. Something happens and you know, we can't make it. You know, we got to figure it all out instead of saying, well, God has my back. God is on my side.
Amen.
And instead of complaining and griping and saying we can't do it, churches throw up their hands. They throw out their pastor.
get rid of their deacon. Lock the doors of the church. Have secret meetings.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Sean. If I can just make one small comment. I agree 1,000% with you, Dr. Nook. I think people are looking for demonstration. So like you
Amen.
Said, why
Amen.
Would someone follow you? Why would they believe you when you don't believe? And you're
Amen.
Saying, well, you got a house where they're sitting there looking at you, you're not demonstrating faith. You're sitting there crying. You're in the, line like the rest of them. You know what I'm saying? And a prime example of that, and I'm not judging it. I'm saying how a non-believer could see this in a negative way. A lot of us I know have saw this thing on the news. They made national news about Creflo Dollar asking his congregation for $650 million for this, you know, jet that he wanted, you know. And, you know, if you're a non-believer, you're sitting there like, well, he's been preaching and teaching these people about having faith and God is providing and all this, but yet when it's time for him to get a new plane or his, you know, things wear out, materials wear out, your car wears out, you know what I'm saying, your clothes wear out, planes wear out. Of course, they need to be replaced. But the question a person who's a non-believer would say, okay, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Demonstrate to me how you can get $650 million instead of coming and asking me to provide that for you. Demonstrate that to me so then I can believe for a car, I can believe for a house, you know. And so it makes one person like that saying to one apple will spoil the whole bunch. It makes the rest of the ministry, you know, look bad, you know.
Amen.
And it's sad, but you have to demonstrate it.
And somebody said Jesus rode a mule.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Well, but I think we're – this is Eric. I think where we lose people is because, first of all, serving the Lord did not mean that we were not going to have wilderness experience.
Amen.
And I think that's a misconception that some folks used to preach. I don't know that they do anymore, but they used to. But where we lose people is that when we go through that wilderness journey, we're not leaning on the Lord. We are crying. We are looking like we lost our best friend. We're crying the blues. We're asking, oh, well, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you help me do this? Instead of saying, however this turns out, I'm trusting the Lord to see me through it, however this turns
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's where we lose people because they say, well, you're supposed to be a Christian and you want to tell me about how awesome your God is and how you provide. And yet you looking like you not going to make it today.
My Lord.
Preach.
And if that's the case, then why would I want to do that? Why would I want to subject myself to, you know, this, that, and the other if that's what I've got to look forward to? And I know for me, I'm always careful about what I talk about when I'm walking through the wilderness or how I talk about that. But I'm always mindful to say I know that God will see me through. However this comes out, I know that the Lord will see me through. And that's the
Amen.
Other part of that because we only want to see what we want to see on the other side of this. And it may not be for God's glory.
Amen.
And this is Sean. Another thing, people, we lose people because we're always talking about problems. People already know the problem. People come looking for solutions.
Preach.
So, you know, we, as believers, and I mean that whether we're being disciples, like Dr. Susie will tell us, you know, you can disciple to anybody on the street or at work or wherever. You don't have to be in the physical church to, you know, talk to people about Jesus. But the bottom line is everyone knows what the problem is. People want solutions. And so if we're saying Jesus is the solution, we need to talk about that. Say, hey, I know you're out of a job. You know, I've been there. And this is how you go through that. Don't just sit there and cry with them. You know, they want, you know, they don't need the problems to be rehashed. You know, and I think that's what I try. I'm looking for, because I've walked through that, you know. And it's like you said, mm-hmm. holding on until you are delivered. Be encouraged. You have to help them to be encouraged. And like Dr. Nook said, have faith. Know that even though you can't see it, it's coming.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I think that for a lot of us, we need to look at doing that in small groups, because a larger church body is not going to do that. That's one of my pet peeves when I'm looking at a church, is a church that's teaching me how to use God's word in a practical experience in today's life. Because that's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught the folks how to use experience in the life that they were living then. And that's what we need our ministers to be doing today, is taking God's word and teaching us how to use that practicality of that word in our life situations today. And I don't know that a lot of them do that. I can't say all, because there are some that do, but I don't know that a lot of them do that. They give us the key phrases and the sayings and all of that, but they're not teaching the people how to take the word and use it in a practical experience. I absolutely agree, Mr. Sean.
Amen.
And so I want to turn our attention to 1 Kings and Elijah. We knew last week, we discussed that he was sent to settle down by a brook and drink of the brook, and the ravens brought him food. And how many of us would today say, okay, Lord, you sending me out to the river, and you going to want me to sit there so the ravens bring me food to eat? But this was a wilderness experience that God sent him to for a purpose. And so I want to look at 1 Kings 17:5-7. Can someone read that for me? Well, actually, start at verse 2, please.
I have to go back. You're going to be verse 2. Just a minute.
Yeah, 17, start at verse 2.
In the Lord.
You got it? Go ahead.
Chapter 17?
Yes.
Verse 2. Then the Lord
Correct.
Said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kerith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kerith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. How far? But after a while...
Go ahead and finish it, Dr. Susan.
But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land.
So God is saying, okay, here's what I need you to do. And I need you to go sit in this wilderness. I need you to sit by this brook, and I need you to stay there, and the ravens are going to bring you food, and you eat the food and drink from the brook. And he stayed there till the brook ran dry. Now, how long is it going to take a brook to run dry, even if there is no rain? A little while.
Probably a little while.
Can we agree? A little while, right?
Yeah.
But even in his wilderness journey, which he was sent to, he was still provided for.
Yeah.
Even
you,
in
you
the
know,
wilderness
it,
journey.
This is James. And what I like about that is that the raven bought him food each morning and each evening. So he had his total provision, he didn't have anything stored up. He had to have faith and depend on God each and every day. He had nothing. So he had to be provided for two times a day, every day. He didn't have anything in the refrigerator.
Amen.
He didn't have some meat stored up. He didn't have a loaf of bread. All he had was what they bought him two times a day. That's faith.
Right. And so God is orchestrating this because we know that they had to bring him something of substance. Now, does the raven really have the mind to bring bread and meat to somebody and drop it off? And so God has looked at this and said, this is what I need for my child to sustain themselves. And even in our Lord's Prayer, it says our daily bread. It didn't
Amen.
Say our weekly. It didn't say our monthly. It said our daily bread. So if I
Amen.
Get through this day, the Lord has given me everything that I've needed to get through this day by his goodness and mercy and me believing that he was going to do that. But where we get into trouble is that we get to looking for, well, but I want this. I want you to bring me this. And the Lord is often telling us, no, what I need you to be concerned about is my grace, my strength, and my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the rub for most Christians.
And
I'm
Brother
not saying
Eric,
all, but that's the rub for most Christians. Yes.
I was just going to add to what you're saying. Not only do we say that's not what we want, we're going to tell Lord how we want to come, how we want to come.
All right.
I just need the light bill paid, but now I want it to come from this source. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It ain't good that the lights are on, you know what I'm saying? But we got to control how it comes. We don't know how
My
to
Lord.
Drop to your knees, humble yourself, and say, Lord, help me. And just wait with expectation and thanksgiving, and it's going to show up. Long as the lights are
Amen.
On, praise
Amen.
God. Get up and
praise God.
Keep it. People are crazy. They are sitting there trying to control how your source is coming. God said, I will supply. I will supply. He doesn't need any direction from us.
No, because if he gives it, then we think we did it.
Most people don't want to admit it, but we are ignorant. We are ignorant. And when you come to tell the truth about who you really are, we are ignorant compared to God. And ignorant is not a negative thing. It's just speaking the truth. We don't have the wisdom of God. He created us. We did not create him.
Amen.
So
Amen.
He knows what you need in your body to survive and how to live and all that. You don't know how your liver and kidney and heart and brain fit together. He does. He put that together. And then you're going to tell the man who created it how to fix it. Really?
My Lord.
You're ignorant. I mean, grow in, you know, that's where you're, as a Christian, once you're a believer, you're supposed to grow, you know, and that's another problem within the church. They save people and they get to heaven and think that's all they need. No, heaven is great. I look forward to that day when time comes, but I need something today until in the meantime.
You need that practical experience to get you through this journey. You absolutely need that. And that being said, I'm going to talk about how we get that. If we look at Matthew 4, verses 3 through 11. St. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 11. Can someone read that? Well, I actually start at verse 1. 4, 1 through 11.
You got it, guys?
I had 3 through 11. I have to go back to my thing to get verse 1.
I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry. Say Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Well,
then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.
Yes.
Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus.
So,
amen.
For us, how do we combat this wilderness experience?
The word of God.
The word.
Yeah. Amen.
With the word of God.
Amen.
With the word of God. Even in the midst of it, with the word of God, keeping the word of God close on our tongue, praying up, reading up, that's how we do this. When you feel yourself getting to be pulled down and dying, get in the word, get on your knees, pray, talk to somebody who know God, which you should know, but talk to somebody else. Have those conversations with godly people, not just anybody. With those brothers and sisters that you know are godly, they can have that conversation with you. That's the only way.
So, Brother Eric, my question is, if you're just now getting started into this spiritual and faith walk, how do you do that? What are the steps that you need to take to do that?
From my perspective, you start with prayer and asking the Lord to help you understand his word and give you the scriptures that you need to begin to read to understand that, and
amen,
then to begin to memorize those scriptures so that you have close at hand, and
amen,
seek out those individuals who have a testimony that they can share with you and walk with you, and be very, very careful about who those folks are, because you're not looking for folks who's going to use your hurt and your wilderness journey to try to twist it against you. You're looking for folks who can say, hey, I understand, I've been there. Let me tell you, here's some things that you can do. And they need to be pointing you to the word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And nobody can explain it to you any better than the Lord himself. No man can speak to you better than Jesus. So like Brother Eric said, pray and ask God to help you to understand. He'll lead and guide your spirit to the source of information you need.
Amen.
Amen. It's getting late, and I want to thank all of you very, very much for allowing me to lead this evening. And now I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Susie for prayer concerns and praise report. Thank you all.
Amen.
Thank you,
Brother Eric. What an awesome, awesome Bible study. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We would like to ask the group, are there any praise reports, or if there are people who'd like to call in now to give and share praise reports, then feel free to do so. The call-in number, of course, is 646-478-4932.
Carver. Carver here. Yeah, I have a massive praise report in that last week I didn't know how God was going to do all of it, because in that 1 week I had to move my dad from assisted living to independent living. I had to take my daughter to her college visit, and I had to finish a project in the same week, and God got it all done. I didn't know how it was going to get done. It wasn't the most orthodox way, but it all got done, and I just want to thank him.
Amen.
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 This is Eric. I've got a prayer request. Just before we came on the line, I was talking to my uncle in Ohio, and my aunt has passed away. She had been fighting brain cancer for years, but She was doing absolutely well, and it was very unexpected. So I'm trying to make arrangements to leave, to get up to Ohio and be with family. So I'd like for the group to be praying for my family at this point in time.
We also want to lift, this is Dr. Susie, we want to lift up the Robinson family that just lost a young cousin who's in his 30s, had a massive heart attack, so we're asking for support or prayer for their family. And we'd also like to lift up Brother Eric as you close in prayer. Those families that are struggling from lack of employment, medical care needs and no finances, that, you know, as well as any other, it's specifically a blessing for the president as well, and our Congress and our country as we're getting ready to prep and prepare for a new president.
Let's also pray for those families who lost their young black men to senseless, you know, police violence.
Absolutely.
And I ask for vocational support and prayer for ministry endeavors as well. Okay. Oh, James's birthday is today, so we want to celebrate and say happy,
well, happy
birthday.
Happy birthday.
And thank God he's got another
happy
day.
Happy birthday, James.
Amen.
Happy birthday, James.
Happy birthday.
Absolute happy birthday.
All right, Brother Eric.
Actually, Dr. Susie, can I ask Brother Carver to close this, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We praise you. We magnify you. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. We thank you for your power that you place within us, God. We thank you for ministering to all of the families who have lost loved ones, God. And we thank you for continuing to be with us. Keep us thankful and focused on you. In the name of your Son, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection.
Amen.
Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.